Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready for a digital dive? You're listening to the GZ Chop Shop podcast, the weekly tech and gaming media podcast that breaks down the latest news, lore, and more. So plug in, because the GZ Chop Shop starts now.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another week of the GZ Chop Shop podcast. I am your host, Project Tachi, joined by my good friend, co-host, Warners, and this week we're going to talk about one of your favorite topics, Warners. We're going to talk about Game Pass. We're going to talk about Microsoft, and we're going to talk about their quiet, not so quiet struggles with Game Pass. And I do want to be clear. I know a lot of people are probably thinking, "Oh my gosh, here goes some fanboys going to be bashing on Game Pass, bashing on Microsoft." No, I want to get into the nitty-gritty of things, what Game Pass promised, if it's delivering on those promises, where they excel, where they're falling behind the competition, and what Microsoft could be doing to get Game Pass to where they said they want it to go as compared to where it is right now. And I want to kick that off with, for a lot of people who probably wonder, like, you know, is Game Pass struggling? On the surface, at a glance, no. Game Pass is not struggling on the surface. Behind the scenes, yes, it is struggling, because if you actually try to look up any numbers for Microsoft's Xbox ecosystem in terms of sales, you're going to come up with nothing. Everything points to Game Pass subscription numbers. And in terms of subscribers, they're doing phenomenal. They're in the millions. I think there's something like over 30, maybe 40 million active subscribers on Game Pass. So they're crushing it in subscriptions. The problem is Game Pass has fallen into what I call the Netflix effect. Netflix wanted to be the go-to place for all of your mainstream media. And they did, in a way, achieve that, because they basically picked up anything Hollywood wasn't going to put the money out for. Netflix said, then we'll pay for it. If Hollywood won't do it, give it to us. We'll pay for it. We'll foot the bill. Boom. Here it is for Netflix. It helps up subscribers, because people are like, I get to watch on Netflix what Hollywood won't put out. Great. Phenomenal. Until what's the problem we have with Netflix now? Every year, every other year, they're raising the price. The reason they have to raise that price is because they got to make up that revenue for all those movies that they hashed out, which is basically Hollywood looking like, now you see why we didn't produce that, because we knew it was going to be too expensive. Now you've taken on that bill. You made the movie, but now you've got to make that revenue back and then some. And Game Pass is trying its hardest not to raise its price. It's trying to be an affordable ecosystem, which right now it is. I cannot deny that it is a good investment in its own regard for what it offers its consumers. For, I think, like no more than $10, you get access to a library of games that you can come and go and play as you please. However, my biggest issue with Game Pass is Microsoft's huge push to put gaming as a subscription model. And it seems like after the 360, they pretty much gave up trying to compete in terms of consoles. Basically, they took an L after the 360, which was a dominating system at its time when it came out. I had a 360 before I even had a PlayStation, because I liked it, and it was a good system. It had good games. But then after they lost out with the Xbox One to the PS4, they kind of were like, oh, well, we weren't caring about consoles anyway. We were focused on building Game Pass, which I'm like, no, that just sounds like a kid who can't take a loss. So he came up with an excuse.
And not only that, but I don't think people understand what it's doing. Like, Microsoft has bought so many studios over the past just few years alone. Okay. And that's cool. Like, nothing. I'm not hating on that. The issue that's there is when you are making brand new AAA games that are $60-$70 price tags, and nobody's really buying those games in full so that the company can make up that revenue. But instead, they're immediately put on Game Pass, and you're paying, you know, whatever, $15, $20 a month, and it's being spread out between not just that one game, but all the games that would receive revenue from Game Pass over, you know, versus the $60, $70. So that's where the main issue is down the road, is the company's not receiving the proper revenue in return for those games. And people are like, oh, well, you know, Microsoft owns them. It's not a big deal. That's not how business works.
Yeah.
Yes, Microsoft owns those studios, but Microsoft footing the bill for the studios does not make financial sense down the road, because then that side of Microsoft is going to lose money if they're footing the bills for the studios for not receiving the revenue for the full AAA game price tag.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that was a huge talking point towards the end of last year, right before Starfield's launch. A lot of people were saying, you know, how much is Starfield going to sell? And of course, you have the Xbox community who came together, and they were like, you know, Starfield's going to do phenomenal and it's going to sell. And I will say that Starfield put up numbers, but not the numbers people think. If you look up any game, almost any game, and ask in number one search, as basic as possible, how much did this game sell? Prime example, Final Fantasy 16. If you go on Google and type in, how much did Final Fantasy 16 make in sales? How much did it sell? You will get exact numbers. You will get numbers. But if you try to find that for Starfield, you cannot get numbers. Even to as far as January of this year, there are still not accurate sale numbers for Starfield. Because there are subscriber player.
Right.
Numbers.
Nobody's buying the game. People are buying the subscription, which comes with all these games. And that's not the same.
And I wanted to showcase something to help solidify that point. And this is from, and I know a lot of people, they don't like IGN, but where it counts, sometimes they do the research. So this is right from IGN. We have it up here, and it's from the end of last year, September 2023, the top 20 games. Now at the bottom, it says digital sales not included. This is the physical copy of games, something that Microsoft wants to wean away from, which is why they're going with a subscription-based model. They want to wean away from physical copies. They want to push digital. Now, this is not digital sales. Starfield topped the chart. It's also the only one of two Microsoft games to even top the chart of the top 20 games physical copies sold. Well, technically three, since they own Activision, Blizzard. Starfield, in terms of physical copies, topped the chart. That means these are the people that bought the game. It beat out Mortal Kombat. These are people that actually bought a physical copy of the game. And this is covering all the game stores, PlayStation Plus, Steam, everything. However, when you check 2023 year to date, from September to the end of the year, digital sales, again, not included. But this list includes physical and full game digital copies of the game. Starfield came in at number 7. That means, in terms of the digital return, which most people are playing their games on, Starfield did not sell as well as compared to the physical copy. And on day one, most of the numbers we got told, put out, were people from Game Pass subscriptions that were playing Starfield was, I think, like 10 to 12 million. But after people have been crunching the numbers, and it's mostly still estimates, they're saying probably less than 2.5 million of those players actually bought the game. That's a lot of money left on the table. That's a lot of money for a AAA game from a big studio like Bethesda, that their player base wasn't buying the game. And I want to say that's not at the fault of the players. You gave them a product. You promoted the product saying our first-party studio games are going to come out. They're going to be available to you day one at no extra cost. So you can't get mad at the consumer for using the product that you presented. But I think at the same time, they're shooting themselves in the foot long term. And a sign of this was the ambiguous warning that Phil Spencer gave. I want to say it was last year.
It was mid to late last year
where he was saying, if the numbers for Xbox Game Pass aren't where they should be by 2027, Xbox is going to pull out. And that whole line was divided in half. People interpreted it two different ways. Obviously, if you're, part of the Xbox community, you interpret it one way of, hey, if the numbers weren't where we wanted them to be, we wouldn't be in gaming, interpreting it as we know what we're doing. We're just saying by 2027, we could be there, we could not. Where everyone else on the other side is like, no, that sounds kind of like he's saying if we're not where we want to be by 2027, Xbox is, we're done. Which, in business, that, if he was an evil mastermind, that's what you do. You don't launch something without having a backup escape plan for when the hero comes along to, ruin your day. And I said this last year. I said, Xbox is in the prime position for that conversation to be taken either way. If by 2027 they hit the subscriber numbers they want, then the other half of that conversation is going to be correct. Like, they weren't leaving. They were just saying, hey, by the time we hit 2027, this is where we wanted to be. That side will be right. If they don't hit the numbers and they bail out, then the other side is right. Either way, one of the sides is, going to be right in this conversation. And that's kind of what Microsoft is setting up, that they can go either way. But if Microsoft has to bail out because the Game Pass model falls apart, they're going to take a huge chunk of gaming with them because they're going to want that money back that they've invested. And they set themselves up in a prime position to either force gamers into the subscription model to make that money back, or to force other companies to pick up the slack by then selling the assets of the bigger companies that they've already bought.
Right.
So then, well, the other companies will have to pay them to have a piece of that pie.
And you got to realize too, you take Netflix, for example, their prices aren't much different than Game Pass, about $20, depending on which tier you choose. But they can get away with this model much more easily because you're talking about people around the world, hundreds and hundreds of millions of people paying that subscription price, not just here in America, but around the world, and Netflix receives that. On this side, we're talking about gaming. It's not hundreds of millions of people subscribe to Game Pass. It's gamers in the millions subscribe to Game Pass. It's not the same. Even the price tag's the same-ish, but it's not going to be the same outcome. Yeah, and I think that's the problem that Xbox has gotten themselves into with Game Pass. I think on paper, years ago, it seemed like a really good idea, but now it's about maintaining that while all parties involved are still receiving the proper payment and revenue to stay afloat and continue forward.
Yeah. And you're only a new subscriber once. So, at some point they're going to hit a ceiling. They're good. They're going to hit a cap. And that's the downside of a subscription-based model. You're eventually going to plateau. You either raise the subscription on the people who are already subscribers to make more revenue, or you come up with something else to incentivize, other purchases, which is why the Xbox console is still around. It's an incentive to still buy a console. Now, talking on all of these things, there are positives to the Game Pass, and I do have to applaud Microsoft for trying to take steps in innovative directions with it, making Game Pass accessible on almost all platforms. That's cool. I told you a couple months ago, they have a beta version of being able to play your Game Pass games in the Oculus. I think that's cool.
Pretty badass.
That's pretty cool. That's a good way to appeal, because even for a second, I thought about getting Game Pass just to try it. But I also know on the flip side, the problem with Microsoft's handling of Game Pass right now is I think they're focused on all the wrong things. They're spending a lot of money to acquire top-tier developers to bolster their reputation, bolster their library to an extent. And then they're spending the other revenue to get their Game Pass ecosystem on all these platforms, Luna and Oculus, to give an experience that neither Nintendo or Sony are even thinking about, which they probably should, because like I said, the Oculus is a very interesting direction. But on the other side of that, they're not really giving what they promised their community as well. Phil Spencer back in 2020 pretty much said they would be having like AAA games coming out every year. And how many delays have they been having? You know, people are still waiting on their Fable. They're still waiting on their Avow. Who knows when Elder Scrolls 6 is going to drop for them?
You got to think too, Microsoft, people don't put PC and Microsoft together, right? Because they are like, yes, Microsoft owns the PC side of things, the program, right? But Steam is a separate thing. And Steam is also the only gaming, out of the big ones here, you got Nintendo, PlayStation, you have Microsoft, then you have, you know, the PC side, and people generally go with Steam. Steam's the only one that's not publicly traded. So mark my words, dude, if Steam makes a decision to go public, they're going to be a major competitor. Major competitor.
And you know Microsoft's going to try to buy them. Huh? You know Microsoft's going to try to buy them.
No one's going to buy Microsoft or Steam right now.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen. No, but I could, you know, Steam has a good model though. They you buy the games in full. There's no pass, right? But there's exclusives, kind of PC games that are exclusive only. They have Steam sales. And most, pretty much any game you can get on Xbox, you can get on PC. And then the exclusives. And then sometimes PlayStation, Sony, they're kind enough to share. You know, they don't like to share. Mm. Kinder than Nintendo. Nintendo just doesn't share.
Nintendo never shares.
So, you know, people get mad at, you know, PlayStation, like, oh, PlayStation. I'm like, none of y'all are bitching
and
at
meanwhile,
Nintendo.
Nintendo's sitting right there like.
Nintendo's sitting right there like, did you say my name? I'll sue you right now. It's like, bro, someone come get Nintendo.
Nintendo needs to learn to play nice. But, you know, that's what keeps them
stuck up
in the game.
Bastards.
Yeah. But no, that's a valid point. Also, another sign that Xbox Game Pass is not doing as well as a lot of people hope is the fact that they've been allowing their games to go to other platforms. I mean, but Sony just got access to Hi-Fi Rush. That's so that we buy the game to help them generate the revenue that they're not making in Game Pass. Because we're buying the game that their own community.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Isn't buying.
Because it's on Game Pass.
Yeah. And the problem is, like I said, you can't get mad at the consumers for using the features you presented, but you also can't just snatch it away. So it's kind of underhanded that they're having, like, you know, if it gets to to the PlayStation community. We pay for it so that their community doesn't have to pay for it.
When I think a major difference between PlayStation Premium or PlayStation Plus and then Game Pass is you don't really see games, especially AAA games, go to their PlayStation Plus immediately.
Yeah.
They let it stew for a while. They let people purchase it. And it's not typically their most popular games that are on PlayStation Premium. I'm not saying there's not good games. There's plenty of amazing games on PlayStation Plus. Mm-hmm. But they let it stew for a while. They let people enjoy it, buy it, they get that money, and then like 6 months to a year down the road, then they put it on Premium.
Because they want to make sure that they get the sales, they get the justifiable sales, and then they know that there's going to be passive gamers who can wait. They're going to wait until it comes available. I think, like I said, I think in terms of the majority of passive gamers, Game Pass is a solid choice. You know, for your college student who's living in their one-room apartment, got a ton of, you know, student loan to pay and bills, and they still want to play games every now and then, Game Pass is an affordable choice. There's no reason anyone should be not allowed to have access to video games.
And you got to think too, like the average game now is $70. It's $70. Insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. So of course people are going to want to use Game Pass.
Yeah.
Of course it looks like a great option.
It is. And in terms, like I said, in terms of budget, if you're a gamer on a budget, then yes, Game Pass is phenomenal. And that's usually the initial argument point from people about Game Pass. It's like, it's affordable. And I'm like, you know what? I can't argue with you there. Games are expensive. I'm starting to wait for games to come to PlayStation Premium now and then, or wait till they have their sales so that I can still support and have some feeling of ownership of the game. I don't want to fully commit to the subscription model, because if the wallet gets tight and you got to turn off a subscription, your entire library of games is kaput, gone. You're immediately cut off. And that sucks. I still want to be able to play some games, even if I can't subscribe to them. But like we've been saying, that loss of revenue has got to be picked up somewhere. And if anything, while being the most ideal model at first, it's hurting them long term, because someone was crunching the numbers of a game that they had, you know, all the games they played through Game Pass. They said they saved themselves $382 by not having to buy any of the games, $382 for that year. Now you have to multiply that by the millions of subscribers they have. And actually, you know what? I'm just curious. So let's just say this person saved $382 and there's 25 million people on Game Pass. Let's just say hypothetically half of them, we'll say 10 million, are just like this guy, right? They're losing millions of dollars. That's like $3,000 a pop that they're losing across the board. That adds up eventually. You know, that is insane. So, hold on. No, you know what? Actually, I am very, very curious. I am very curious about this. Calculator doesn't even want to show. I have to turn it sideways. They're losing billions of dollars. That's billions. That's over $3 billion. That's just that Microsoft is losing.
You broke your calculator.
I broke my calculator just to do it for like half of the subscriber numbers. If 10 million of them are saving $382 a year, that's all the money that could be going into making better games. And I know that I've seen, and I
which
I
makes me wonder, dude, if a AAA game was not $70 and let's say it was $50, people would be more willing to buy the game. And they would probably receive a larger portion of that revenue back.
I think so. I think that's another reason why Nintendo and Sony don't lean as hard into the Game Pass model as much. Because when I have the choice sometimes of getting the game, playing it on premium, and then eventually buying it or just buying it outright, usually I'll buy it outright first. Because I still like to have my game. And I want those devs to have the means to make good games. And a lot of devs don't want to put their games on Game Pass because of how the revenue is split. They don't feel comfortable for it. Yes, for indie developers, some of them are like, hey, people got to notice my game because it was on Game Pass. Great, your downloads went up. How are your sales? And a lot of them are like, people noticed my game, but they didn't buy my game. That's what you need to survive. You need people to buy the game. And if no one's buying the game, it's great that it got downloaded, but you're not going to have the money and the means to keep the game alive, to keep it going. So that hurts long term. I think, and then another thing that hurts Game Pass is they don't market it. And we know marketing is like 70% of everything in gaming. They don't market it. And I think one of the reasons they don't market it is because they know they've already broken their promise. Since like 2020, how many first party titles have they put out? Since the last four years, actually overall 10 years, if you think about it. You think Halo, cool. And then look how Halo Infinite was received. Starfield has been their biggest banger, and that was controversial. And then they put all that hype in Redfall, and Redfall was is Redfall even still alive? Didn't that game die on arrival?
Yeah.
So now everyone's like, all right, well, we still got Fable. We still got Unavowed. We still got all these other things that are supposed to be coming down the pipe. But we're getting so close to 2027. One has to wonder, is Microsoft waiting until people just accept what Game Pass is now and then give them their games?
I just want to say, the ball's on the gaming industry, not just Microsoft or Sony, all of them, fucking all of them. All right. The balls, the nerve. Okay. You got the passes on the different platforms. Okay. And then you got the battle passes and then the skins and then all the microtransactions. I've had enough. And I think we should all have enough.
I think
tired of it.
And here's what's so crazy.
Give me a game that's ready to play.
Give me a game that's ready to play when it's released.
All this other shit.
Can we get the 90s again when I bought the game off the shelf?
God,
that was the game.
Call of Duty is the worst, man. You get on Call of Duty and it's like, you get
their game is the store.
And it's like, did you buy this? I'm like, no.
Yep.
No. You know what the original Call of Duty 3 was? None of that shit. You just went right in the lobby and threw hands or, you know, traded rounds, whatever.
Here's a crazy idea. If they really must want a subscription model, why don't they, I don't know, actually work together? Because video game is about togetherness. It's about community. That was the whole premise of video games. Sony, Nintendo, yes, Nintendo, get off your high horse for a little bit. And then at Microsoft, and Microsoft, don't try to muscle money your way into owning it. And Sony, don't be stingy and share. Come together and create one subscription pass. Just one simple subscription pass for access to their digital library of games. Because Microsoft already has the means. They have the means. They have the cloud-based services to allow people to access their games from any device, anywhere.
That's hilarious. You're asking them.
I know. I'm asking these corporate juggernauts to actually
three different companies to work together.
Yeah. To work together with a simple solution that could make everybody happy. Because then with that, the weight and burden of the finances is evenly spread. And then you pick and choose which games are going to be available. Because right now, Microsoft is handling that load entirely themselves. I don't know what they're trying to prove, but it's hurting them. And that's why they're not putting out actual sale numbers for anything. Because they're not making any sales. And they would raise subscription numbers. Because I would pay for something like that, a universal subscription pass to have access to all games in one place. Cool. sounds cool. I know it's far-fetched. Never will happen in this lifetime. But I think that would be a fair, even spread.
Yeah.
Fair, even spread. But that's what's going on with Microsoft. I had been seeing articles and I was really curious about it. So I was deep diving and I was like, wow, you know, that 2027 is starting to look really, really ominous for Game Pass. So who knows? Guess we'll see. We will see. What do you guys think? Are you a Game Pass user? Do you think Game Pass is in danger? What would you suggest they do to help make things better for their subscribers? Is there games that they should bring to it that they haven't? Should they focus more on their actual first-party games to make Game Pass more appealing? I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on that, so let us know. But our second and final topic, pretty brief, Stellar Blade. So Stellar Blade right now is getting just as much heat as it is getting love. And it's so funny because I played the demo for Stellar Blade and I think it's going to be a phenomenal game. It looks amazing. The gameplay is pretty fluid. And I think the story is very interesting. It's very, from what the demo lets you have, it's a very intriguing futuristic post-apocalyptic story. But I noticed everyone gets stuck on the character models and everyone has been so dead set on insulting the game of trying to be overly sexual that I'm like, is it only a problem because these developers didn't try to sugarcoat what Hollywood and of our own games try to sugarcoat? Like, they didn't pretend that sex doesn't sell, because let's be honest, it does. You can just look on Instagram or look at almost any product, even if it has no kind of sexual connotation, they use some hot male, female to help promote the product because attractiveness and sex sells.
I don't want to hear a fucking thing from anyone in the gaming industry or the gaming community. I don't want to hear anything from gamers in general about sexualization of a single character when they have men in every single freaking fantasy game ripped at 6'2", running around, blowing stuff up, looking like the most badass dude. And not a single person says shit. Yeah. But when one female character looks a little too attractive or has a little too less clothes on, they flip out. I don't want to hear it, dude. Like, you don't get to like cherry pick sexualization in the gaming industry or in general. Like, either come at everything and say you have a problem with all of it,
or come at
shut
none
your
of
mouth
it. Yep.
And don't buy the game.
That's my simple. I'm like, just don't buy the game then. Don't buy the game.
Don't
but
buy the
I
game.
Think the reason people are so upset about it is because they
it's
know
ridiculous.
The game is going to sell.
Of course, the game's going to sell.
Yeah.
Same reason I bought Tomb Raider.
Yeah,
I
let's
love
not
Tomb Raider.
Pretend.
And she's hot.
Yeah.
The game is also really good.
Yeah. Like, we can't
fucking
get
ridiculous.
Mad at the studio for knowing who they're targeting and how to market the game.
People like, my moral compass. Shut up.
It's only the a moral compass
you're,
when
you're
convenient.
You're cherry-picking one thing for yourself to have a voice that no one cares to hear.
I remember reading one article, or it was a comment on social
ridiculous.
Media. And it was a person saying that obviously these developers have never seen a woman in their life because of this design. It's just unrealistic. And I'm like, wow, that's an insult to the literal real life Korean model who did the motion capture for this character. Because that's exactly what she looks like. So you're saying she's not real. Because you might not look like that. So therefore, that's unrealistic.
Unrealistic for you. I'm not even getting into this. I'm not even going to get down this rabbit hole.
That's a rabbit hole. But I just want to say to any real gamers out there, Stellar Blade, all of that controversy aside, I think is a phenomenal game. The demo is really, really good. I was surprised with it. The music was on point. And the combat, I completely forgot about what everyone else is worried about, because the combat, the world, the controls, just the atmosphere pulled me in and it gave me Souls-like vibes. I feel like I'm going to be so more, I'll be so much more focused on just trying to survive in that game that the outfit isn't even going to like be a concern for me. That like,
you want to act like the outfit's so distracting that you can't even play the game.
That you can't play the game. Like, come on, everyone. Like, and I don't know. I think.
And what kind of shape do you think someone's going to be in when they're the main character, when they're able to do a bunch of like crazy physical feats and they're surviving a situation? What kind of fitness level do you think they're going to be in?
I think this was a case of, had it been a male character, same concept, male character, same skimp, you know, as close to skimpy as male characters can get, there would not have been this big of an uproar.
Nope.
There would not have been this big of an uproar.
No, there wouldn't have.
Everyone would have been A-okay with it. And then you know, people would have been, I'm just calling a spade a spade here. You
the
know,
the same women that will sit there and complain about, or the freaking character will put that same damn near same outfit on and be like, this is me and you shouldn't stare, and then go in public. I said what I said, dude. I said what I said, but they'll fucking try to shit on a game one time over one character for the same shit. I don't want to hear it, man.
I hope Stellar Blade sells really, really well. I hope it gets nominated for Game of the Year, because that would make me so happy. I am petty. And I am okay with it.
Yeah.
It's a good game. I've been watching this game since it was announced.
Hypocritical people, man. That's all it is. Hypocrites. Hypocritical. Yep. Talking just to be heard, but no one cares because you don't have a point.
Yep. So, I'm going to be playing Stellar Blade. Are you going to be playing Stellar Blade? What are your thoughts on Stellar Blade? Good or bad? Share them on our YouTube channel or on our website, GZChopShopPodcast.com. Also, guys, go check out our merchandise shop, gzshop.com, as well, for all of our exclusive merchandise right there. Help support the podcast. You can visit us on Patreon, patreon.com/OSN Media. But that's all the time we've got for this episode. You guys have been amazing. Take care of yourself and each other. We will catch all of you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everyone? Project Itachi here. Did you enjoy the show? If so, think about supporting us on Patreon or Acast for exclusive perks, content, and more. Also, visit our store, thegzshop.com. You can find all of our links on our website, osn-media.com. Until next time.